something big in the beginning of 2019. I said, Lord, I'm not going to ask you to help me lose weight because that is something that's not going to happen. But God, tell me what to pray. And he said, Kelly, pray for Logan County. I want to give you Logan County. I want to use you in a way that's never been done. And I want you to reach out in this community and get people saved for the glory of God. And so that's exactly what we've tried to do. We're going to do what we do every Sunday. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Yes. When I'm 100, I'm going to be having you stand to your feet. I'll still have blonde hair and I'll probably still have go-go boots on, and that's how it's going to be. We do this every week because I want you to see what you're doing. What you're doing right now is you're standing, and you're standing just by the grace of God, just because God decided to wake you up this morning and put breath in those lungs. When things try to make you fall down and want to quit, I want you to remember that you stand up every single Sunday. God's made you well able to stand. If you've been troubled this week, maybe you've had fights with depression and sadness and anxiety, irritation, family problems, marriage problems, children problems, financial problems. You need direction. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to ask you right now to give God what's his, and that's his praise. And let God take these troubles off of you right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done. God, I ask you right now for your guidance, God, and your provision. Lord, I thank you that we hear and know your voice very clearly, God. We know what choices to make. God, we know when to hold them. We know when to fold them. God, we know when to walk away. I speak to depression in this place right now, and I bind it up right now. God, you said you needed a binder, and you said you needed a looser. So right now, I bind up depression in Jesus' name. I bind up irritation and anxiety, stress, worry. God, I loose your peace right now, God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. I loose peace and health in this place. God, I thank you that we walk away blessed, that we walk away better than we came. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things, every pastor has a mission. Now, look here, I'm like a squirrel, so I got lots of missions, Brother Alvy. But probably if somebody said, what is one of your main missions for Paris Christian Center? I would say, my main mission for Paris Christian Center is when people come up in here, I want them to feel like they can just be them. They can just be themselves. Whether it's good, bad, ugly, pretty, whatever it is, when you come up in here, God wants you to be able to be you. That doesn't mean that he's going to let that you stay unchanged. No, he's going to get you up in here, and he's going to change your life from the inside out. The things that you come in here stressed over, he's going to begin to put his hand of favor on those things, and he's going to guide you in such a way that only God could have done them. So one of my missions here is to actually preach and talk about things that actually go on. Have you ever sat and listened to a message, and you were thinking, what did I just hear? Now, if you're talking about me, don't vote. But I've sat in messages before, and I've heard things, and I've thought, what did I just hear? So one of the things that I really like to preach about, Ms. Rocky, is I want to preach about real stuff. If you want to punch somebody in the grocery store, I won't preach about it. You know why? Because the devil gets on all of us. So I like to preach about real things. I say the grocery store thing because that happened to me a couple years back. Now, God saved that part of me since then. But everybody has a little problem sometimes, and we got to get that stuff up under the blood. Now, somebody, it's my little sweet Kayla girl. How many of y'all miss and love your Kayla, the Pattersons? That is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I mean, Kayla is like a little sister to me, and she sent me this video, and she said, this reminded me of you so much that I'm going to send it to you, but don't get offended. And I thought, look here. It's very hard to offend me, so give it your best shot. So anyways, I want y'all to look at this, and if you get offended over it, I'm just going to have to tell you, you're just going to have to get over it, because we're going to have church here. We're not going to play church, but we're going to have church.
Hey, God. Hey, God? Yeah, hey, it's me again, Missy. Hey, honey, how are you? Listen, when you said love thy neighbor, you can't mean these ones down here. You can't mean some of these people. You did? Honey, some of the, they're awful. They're really terrible. I can't, what's that, created in your image? You can't really meet all of them, like, level, but have you seen what they do? Some, they're all, they're mean. You'll sort it out later? Fine, fine. All right. Well, thank you. Fine. I will love them. I don't have to like them. Okay. I don't have to engage with them. Okay. All right, cool. Fine. I'll love them, but I'm going to complain about the whole time. You need to know that. You need to know that. Yeah? Okay. All right. I love you, too. All right. Tell Jesus I said hey. All right. I'll talk to you later. All right. I love you, too. Bye.
You're welcome. You're welcome for that laugh. I guarantee you no other pastor's playing TikTok up in their church. And this is a religious-free zone. You know, I grew up in the ministry, and what I can tell you is that religion will just outright kill people. And so you know what? My absolute mission is that people can come in here and be themselves and let God change whoever that is for his glory. And so I want to talk this morning about something that comes up in my life, and I'm not afraid to share it, is loving who I don't like. Loving people I don't like. And that sounds weird coming from a pastor, but y'all have heard weirder things from me. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to minister because, you know what, not everybody are you going to jive and jive with. Not everybody are you going to like. Not everybody's going to like you. And I got something even bigger than that is, God loves your worst enemy just as much as he loves you. And so it's important that the believer, we know how to handle ourselves when we have to deal with people that we don't necessarily care for, because it's a necessary thing. It's necessary. It's not God saying, I wish you'd be nice to that person. No, he's telling you to be nice to him. It's a very tall order, and so that's why I'm going to minister on it, because if I was to say, now who in here, you got somebody you really don't like, people are like, well, it's Sunday and I want to look my best and I don't want to look like a big fat jerk in church, so I'm not racist. We're not going to do a truth poll about that, but I'll just tell you that in my life, I've had issues before and I'm sure I'll have them again, of people that I don't necessarily care for, but I've learned how to love them like God loves them. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We're going to look at verses 43 through 48. And I love that lady. She was going, you don't mean these ones. okay, well, I'm going to go along with that, but I'm going to complain about it the entire time. And when I heard that, I was thinking, yep, that's me. And so anyhow, we're in Matthew chapter 5, and we're talking about loving people that we don't necessarily like. And so in verse 43, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, I want to tell you something. Every single day, you're going to wake up and you're going to make a decision, and that decision is going to be this right here. Am I going to act and conduct myself today as a born-again, blood-bought child of God, redeemed by his grace? Am I going to walk in that favor? Am I going to walk in that character, or am I going to be a jerk? Now, I hate to just say it cut and dry, but that's the choice. You're going to be one or you're going to be the other. And the word says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. See, are you really a child of God? Are you really a child of God? Because if you are, there are things that you're going to do. Not because you want to do them, not because that's just, you woke up and you're just naturally good. How many of you just wake up and you're just naturally good all on your own? I'm not. Sometimes I'm like, the first prayer and deliverance service that I'm going to have today is over myself in the closet. Because there ain't no way I'm going to behave today. So anyways, I get you, Brother Gary. I get it entirely. So it says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, this is very, very important for us to grab a hold of, because there's something about when you start to not like someone, or you understand somebody's starting to not like you, you start getting this thing where you're saying, now, God, you don't know what they're doing to me. You don't know what they've done. You this and you that. I want to read you something straight out of the Word of God, because the truth is if a pastor cannot give you a chapter and a verse, they're not a very good pastor. I've been in services before. Man, I was on the square. Well, I wasn't on the square. I like to say I was when Jeremy was, because if it's him, I mean, it's just like me. Whatever he does that's great, I'll take all the credit for it. So he went to the square a couple weeks ago with the youth pastors, and I'm like, man, it's cold out there. I'm going to sit this out. I'm not going to micromanage these wonderful folks. So I'm like, he goes out there, and somebody sent me a video. And at first, I was like, yeah, this person, they're kind of talking like they know the Word. By the end of that, I was sitting there going, thank you for that free entertainment, but that was straight up Satan. Because he started talking about women. He said, women need to get back in the kitchen. I thought, now, that's not of the Lord. Don't tell this woman pastor that, because, hey, I ain't going to give and jive with that at all. But anyhow, so there's things that happen when you start to not like people. There's things that happen when you know that people don't like you. But one thing that I want to put right there in your heart is that, hey, everybody is just a person. And the Word says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil, and he causes his sun to rise on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. There are times in your life where you're sitting there and you're asking God, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Lord, this, I woke up. How many of you have ever woke up in your life and you said, this was not how I thought that my life was really going to be? Amen. I feel you. And I want to tell you that God feels you. God loves you. But look here, you got to get past that point of feeling like that. What you need to understand, when you're in a battle, one of the things that the devil tries to do is he tries to make you feel isolated. He tries to make you feel like you're the only one that's ever gone through that specific problem. I want to tell you that you're not. I want to tell you that God's with you. And look here, when you get to feeling sorry for yourself, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. There are things that in this life, bad things happen to good people. Look here, for those good people, if they're serving God and if they're loving on God, God's not going to let anything hurt that person. He's going to lift them up. And so it says here, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the Word is saying here, you know, if you can only do things for people that you like, what good are you? Don't you love how the Bible just kind of slaps you in the face with truth? It's easy to like people that you like, right? It's hard to like people that you don't like, because there's something up in you, you don't like them. Or there's something up in them, and they're saying, I don't like them. We all deal with that. But look here, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And there has to be something that happens with the believer that their character begins to change. Their character, their integrity begins to change. And they begin to realize that, hey, I may not like this person, but God absolutely adores this person. There is something that when I met Jeremy, he would say, and I thought, he's too nice. He would say, one of our biggest arguments when we got married was, you think terrible about everybody, Kelly. You're so negative. And I'm like, no, I'm just realistic. There's a difference. But he has coined this little thing, and he's taught it to me over the past almost 14 years. It's, Kelly, give people the benefit of the doubt. Give them the benefit of the doubt. There's somebody that's really irked you. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they're having a bad year. Maybe they're having a bad season in their life where what they really need is for somebody to just pour out a little bit of grace on them. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 27 through 36. And it says here, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other cheek. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Every woman out in America is going, no, that heifer ain't getting my tunic. Look here. Give him the tunic. You know you got seven others in a different color. Give him the tunic. You know? And so it says, give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to that? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. And in today's society, that is just about evaporated plumb out of everybody, because people, there's something called social media where people will get these little devils out called cell phones, and they will say things that they would never say to people's face. And then, now I done gone to meddling. I got my boots on, so it's going to get real thick. So there's these things called cell phones. And people love to get on there and get stuff riled up. And there have been times, now I'm not going to be saying I don't do this, because I do this. I get on there and I'm like, oh, my God, look at all these people getting into it over this stuff. And then I'm reading, and I want to see all the comments. I'm going to go all comments, and I'm going to scroll to the top because I want some entertainment. That was the pastor 2.5 years ago. Now I'm like, oh, God, is that any of my folks? Lord, please don't. Oh, don't let it be any of mine doing that ruckus. God, please, no. If they are, don't tell. Lord, don't let them tell anybody that come here. So now what I've started to do, Melissa, is this right here. When I see that stuff going on these phones, I take that phone, I put my hand over it, and I say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, every bit of division that's going on here, God, I bind it up right now. I loose your peace. See, whatever happened to people doing unto others what they would like done to them? What happened about praying for your enemies? You know what? You got enemies. The most talking that you need to do about those enemies is just praying for them. Because look here, they need a lot of prayer, and you do too. Pray for them, and then pray for yourself. If you get up off of your knees of praying and you still hate their guts, get back down, pray for them, and pray for yourself. Get it going. Pray for them, pray for yourself. Now, I had a job. Everybody's like, what did this chick do before she was in ministry? Look, I've been in ministry my whole life, but I was in healthcare for 14 years. And that's right. And so I had this coworker. Could not stand her. Just couldn't. And I feel you if you've got a coworker like that right now. And it seemed like anything she did, she was trying to make me look bad. And I thought, oh, I just can't stand her. I'd get in there Monday at 8 o'clock, and I'd hear her voice, and I'd go, ugh, I just can't even stand her voice. I'd go in the break room. There she'd be eating. She'd be eating fried chicken. Ugh. I'm not eating fried chicken no more just because she's eating it. I don't like that, and I don't like her. I mean, let's be real. These are real problems. If you've ever had a coworker you can't stand, then you know those thoughts. And if you haven't, well, you probably haven't worked a day in your life. True or not? All right. There you go. John's back there going, me and Pastor Kelly's more alike than we even thought. Anyhow, God's got to change your heart when it comes to your enemy. He's got to change your heart when it comes to that person that you don't like. Because the thing is you are too good. You are too successful. You are you got too much ahead of you to be held up by some little petty, and yes, I mean petty, thing that you've got against somebody. See, while life is going on, while blessings are going on, while promotions are going on, while all this stuff is going on, see, when you allow yourself to dislike somebody so much to the point that you're not in the grace of God, look here, that's a bad place to be. That's a bad place to be. when you're scrolling that Walmart parking lot and you're not going in because you see their car, that's a bad place to be. You know why? Because you know something at that point has got a hold of you. Anything that will control your actions that much has got you. Has got you. And I've done that. I've scrolled the Walmart parking lot and been like, it's safe to go in. Then I've gone in, bumped carts with them. I was so glad when we got to wear these masks, because I'm like, only thing I got to do is have these eyelashes looking on point. That's it. Ain't nobody seeing this frown when I'm handing it out. Look here. You got to let God change your heart when you don't like somebody. You got to let God change your heart when you don't like somebody. So let's keep reading. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom from you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is King to the ungrateful and the wicked. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And you know, many, many, many years ago, I was in a relationship that was not ordained by God. And you got to watch them, because they'll tear you up. All you young people, all you single people, listen to your pastor. Don't get yourself up into something that's going to tear you up from one end and down the other. And relationships will do that to you. All it takes is one bad relationship, and you're going to have a broken heart. And I got with this guy, and he was not good, was he, Alvie? Alvie's known me since I was like 12 years old. And he told me after the fact. You always love when people tell you after the fact. Thanks. I didn't like him from the first day I met him. Oh, that would have been helpful. But I remember driving home, and I was having a meltdown. And I was driving this beautiful cherry red Chevy Blazer, brand new. And I was on my way home. Back in the good days, and I lived with my mommy and daddy, and they paid for everything. I liked living with my parents. I had no bones about it. All you folks that didn't like that, I liked it. Like, I'm going to go veg out with Dad. Go do a little putt-putting around. I mean, I enjoyed it. And I was having a talk with God, and all of a sudden, I just heard the devil say to me very clearly, "I just broke your heart." And for the next several months of my life, I just began to have a very deep hatred for that person because of the situation that I was in. And it took several months for me to realize that I was in that situation because of me. People say all the time, "Well, I can't control who I fall in love with." You better. You better. People say, "Well, you know, I can't control this," or "I can't control that." You can. If it's about you, you can. And you should, and you need to. And I will never forget, I was asking God one day. I was pulling into the church. I was about 19 years old. I was pulling into the church, and for the first time in my life, Alvie, I was mad at God. I was just mad. How many of you have been mad at God before? I've been mad at God. I've been angry with God. I've never walked away from God, but I've been mad at God. I'm a good enough person now, I can say that. And I was thinking, "God, I don't even want to go to church. I don't even see the good in going to church, because I am miserable and I am brokenhearted, and I feel like you've let me get this broken heart, and I don't even want to be at church." See, there's something goes on with people when they get themselves up into something, or when they're struggling, they get mad at God. Look here, God didn't do that thing to you. God didn't do that thing to you. And it took me a long time to get under the blood, this one little thing. One day God said, you know, Kelly, you're going to have to lay this thing down with this person because I need you to understand one key factor in this whole situation. I love that person just as much as I love you. Just as much. Just as much. See, you can't have bitterness dwelling in that heart where God's supposed to be dwelling. Just doesn't work. You can't have bitterness dwelling in that heart that God's supposed to be dwelling up in. What does the word say? A heart undivided. You can't have it. So, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. There are relationships in our lives that are difficult. How many of y'all have relationships that are difficult? I don't know what type of relationship, maybe a work relationship, maybe a marriage, maybe a friendship, maybe a this or that. But relationships, at times, they get difficult, and we get stressed. And then what we want to do is cut everybody out, right? Cut them off. I don't need them. Mm-mm. Just be done with them. I get it. We get that way. One of the things that we have to do is we have to surrender those relationships to God and say, God, I give you this problem and I let you handle it. I give you the strained relationship. I give you the strained thing that I've got with my coworker. I give you the strained marriage. I give you the strained divorce. I give you the strained thing with my grown children that held grudges against me. God, I give you this work thing that went bad. We didn't get along. God, I give that to you right now. And God, I lay it at your feet, and God, I trust you with it. We have to learn how to surrender those things to God because you can't carry those things. They're too heavy. They're too heavy. Let's go now to John chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 34. And it says, a new command I give you, love one another. Now, one of the things that I love about the Word of God is this one thing. God will tell you to do something, and then he will tell you how to do it. He will tell you to do something, and then he'll tell you how to do it. And then he'll give you detailed instructions on how to do it. See, I do not like to put things together. Now, I love to buy things that have about a million pieces, and I like for Jeremy to put them together for two reasons. He's good at it, he likes it, and it keeps him occupied and out of my hair. So I go and I buy things that have lots of pieces, and I'm like, sweetheart, put this together for me. Now, Jeremy is very smart, and a lot of times he doesn't even have to look at the instructions, but look here, there's been times where he didn't look at the instructions and we had extra pieces. That's not good. Some of them were integral pieces that belonged on that thing. Look here, you go to doing some stuff and you don't get some instructions, and you build your life, and you left out half the pieces, which was the Word of God and how he told you how to handle certain things, and you're going to fall apart. You'll fall apart because you didn't build it right. And so the Word here, I love it. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. Why does God tell us to love one another? Because he knows the probability of us doing that isn't real good without him telling us we needed to do it. Love one another. And here's how, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So the question I have for you today is, how has God loved you? How has he loved you? How has he loved you? Now, this is not a testimony service. Because if I get people up on the spot, they get nervous, and then they're like, ooh, I'm not coming for three more services because she called me out. And I don't like that. How dare her? I'll tell you how God's loved me. I'll tell you how he's loved me. When he forgives me for things that I do wrong, he doesn't bring them up anymore. When I make a mess of things and he cleans them up, he doesn't act like it's the biggest deal and he hates my guts because I made a mess. When I do the same thing and I know it's wrong and I keep doing it, he doesn't whack me over the head and be like, you moron, you keep doing that. When I hurt so bad that all I do is complain about things, he just listens. He just listens. I'm a pretty flawed person. Sometimes I'm like, God, I don't know why on earth you would call me to do this. But here's the thing. I love God. I love him because when I think about how he's loved me, I fall in love with God more than, I mean, I just love God. Because God's done a lot of stuff and he's tolerated a lot of things that if I was God, I'd have done snuffed me out. Straight up. Survivor. You're done. Your flame's out. We're going on. How has God loved you? How has he loved you? See, when you're looking in that mirror and you're seeing every failure, God's seeing everything great about you. A lot of people, when I got out of that relationship that caused such a broken heart, I went through a time where I was just single. I just didn't date. And God taught me so many things about myself. He said, Kelly, I want you to see yourself how I see you. And when you look in the mirror, stop seeing all that stuff you don't like. Because what I want you to see is that I love you so much that when I look at you, I'm not seeing imperfection. I'm seeing exactly what I made, and I love it, and I'm proud of it. See, God's not looking at you with regret. God's not looking at you with disappointment. So many people, so many pastors preach this watered-down, terrible religious version of who God is. Man, God is just love. God's love. He loves people, man, when everybody else hates their guts. And then Christians, we sit in pews Sunday after Sunday, and we'll hold grudges for like 10 years. Right? All right. We'll sit there and we'll think, well, this one said this and this one said that. And it's not even necessarily how they said it or what they said, but it was just their tone. It was the look they had on their face when they said it. It was the fact that they were wearing purple when they said it, and I don't like purple. And I've heard some crazy stuff. And I've asked God. I've had knockdown dragouts with the devil over people. God, I just don't like that person. I know I'm a pastor, but I'm just keeping it real with you. I just don't like them. God's saying, Kelly, you're in the wrong business for that. Why are we talking about this? Because it's real. Because it's real. Because everybody has somebody in their life that they don't necessarily care for. And we got to know how to act when we get that way. So it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Let's go to John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 9. And it says here, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Remain in my love. So we just said, you know, that we have to love one another, and then not to take it a step further, we have to love them how Jesus would love them. Now we're taking it a step further, and he's saying now, remain in my love, in my love, in my love. You're not going to always love everybody. You're not going to always play nice on that playground with others. I subbed a little bit a couple years ago. And man, it gets down and dirty on them playgrounds with them little kids. And I always loved it because I was like, this is how adults act. We do. And one of the interesting points that I want to bring out in the Word of God is it didn't say remain in the love that you have. Because let's get real, our love is real conditional most of the time. Right? I'm going to love them till they start acting dumb, then I'm going to be done with them. No, that darn sure isn't how God loved you. And I know it's not how he loved me, because I've done some stuff. It says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. See, when you don't have it for somebody, be real with that. Tell God, God, I'm going to face this person today. God, I put myself right here at the very mercy of who you are. And God, you said in your word that I needed to remain in your love. So God, right now, I'm asking you to put that love that you have for that person. I'm asking you to put it up in this heart. And God, help me to remain in that love the whole time. The problem that so many people have is they think that they are big enough to handle every single thing. And they take on and they take on and they take on, and then they just crack one day. How do I know that? Because I do that. Very simple. And we can't possibly like everyone. You may like 100 folks, and then the 101 come, you're like, nah, nope. Mm-mm. Just don't like her. I've had people come up to me and they would say, I don't like you and I don't even know why. And I thought, I do. Because my hair's prettier than yours. Let's keep it real, heifer. Because I'm cute and you not. That's a joke, okay? Half of you were sleeping, the other half of you wasn't amening me, so I had to say something. Y'all don't like it, you're going to have to get over it. All right, we're being real down here. Remain in God's love. You ain't going to like everybody. Stop relying on your love because it's very conditional. Very conditional. So it says here, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Your joy may be complete. If there was one thing that I could say in life so many times that's so lost and undone and incomplete, it's just joy. It's just not complete. And the reason is we get hung up on these little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine in our lives, not the big things necessarily, but it's the little compromises that we make all throughout our lives, all throughout these seasons of our lives. We make these little compromises, and then one day we wake up and we're so lost and undone, and it's because we've compromised one too many times. And you cannot compromise on the love that you're supposed to have for every single person. You don't got to like them, but you got to love them. People think, well, I ain't feeling it for them. Well, look here. Stop going off of what you feel. Feelings will get you in trouble every day of the week. Every day of the week. You know why? Because your feelings are like this. They're up and down. They're up and down. Case in point, I was up in Branson for Thanksgiving, and I thought, I want something different. I don't want to cook. I don't want to clean. I don't really want to do anything but eat. And thank God in heaven for Paula Deen. Feeling spiritual. Paula Deen is a saint, and she has a restaurant, and it's in the Branson Landing. And I went there the day before Thanksgiving, and it was the best ever. And I liked it so much, I'm like, I'm going back the next day. So the thing I like about her restaurant is this right here. It's good. And they sit you down at these tables that look like they're your kitchen table. It's not that it's super fancy, but it just feels like home. You get down, you sit there at these big old kitchen tables, and they start bringing out these dishes. It's not, what do you want, and what do you want, and what do you want? Okay, let's take these little. We're going to treat this as a family. Do y'all, you, this family want meatloaf? Do you want this? Did you? And that's how they do it. And they bring out these big platters, and they got a big old meatloaf, a big old thing of pork chops. And look here, if you get the Savannah or the Georgia or whatever, you get four main dishes and four side dishes. And then you get the buttery rolls. And, I mean, it's just like all-inclusive right up in there. And I was like, praise God. Because so then they were like, well, ma'am, you're going to have to come down here at like 7:30 and get your reservation. I was like, in the morning? Okay. So 7:30 in the morning on Thanksgiving morning, I got my Under Armour sneakers on, and I got myself down there, and I got in line because I was not going to mess that up. I got in there, and I'm like, when do you want me here for my reservation that I'm making at 7:30? I thought they were going to say, 11. They're like, 9 o'clock. I said, well, I've never eaten Thanksgiving dinner at 9 in the morning. They're like, well, you're going to, and it's going to be the best thing ever. And I was like, man, I need Thanksgiving dinner at midnight. I'll be here. I got myself up in there, Jack. I had Thanksgiving dinner at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was fabulous. I'm going to figure out where I was going with that. Emotions up and down. Thank you, Alvy. That's why I need you here. That sounded like a good idea at 7:30. Here's what else they do at Paula Deen's. They let you have however much of that stuff you want. I'm like, this stuff just doubled in price because it's Thanksgiving. We're going to take refills like 3 times. We got meatloaf. We got turkey. We got ham. Pulled pork. I mean, we got stuff. We got all of it. I just kept on ordering it. I was thinking, I'm going to get my money's worth. And I did. And then I started having regret. I was up here. And then after all them calories, I was like down here. And I was like, God, I'm such a glutton. Why did I do that to myself? Now I feel sick. Now I'm going to have to drive and deal with Jeremy's driving, all these curves, all these mountains. This is not, that was not your will for me. Our emotions are up and down, and our feelings are up and down. And many times, unfortunately, our decisions are so ungrounded that we have to develop the character that God has, because that's the only thing that's going to keep us. Not your feelings, because look here, let's be honest, our feelings are ridiculous. They will mess us up. And so it says here, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. See, God appointed you. He chose you before you chose him. He called you out. He set you apart. He called you his own. He called you the apple of his eye, and he appointed you. And then when he appointed you, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out. I want you to love people exactly how I've loved you. Not just partially, not just when you're feeling it, but love them. And when you love them people, you love them how I loved you. And then go out and bear fruit. Do something with your life. Productive. See, God never called Christians to just sit on their rears and do nothing. You're saved to serve. You're saved to be a difference maker. You're saved to change your surroundings. You're saved to set the pace and the mood for wherever you go. That's what I've learned about people that don't like me. Look here, Alvy. When people don't like me, it's like a challenge. Because look here, they're going to like this girl. Why? Because I'm going to be so good to them, they're not going to know what to do. I'm going to just love the fire out of them. Why? Because, man, when I think about how God's loved me, he's literally loved the fire out of me. When God said, you can go to heaven instead of hell, there you go. See, whatever made us the judge between who we give God's love to? He said, I want you to go bear fruit. Did he say just to people that you get along with? No. Go and bear fruit to everybody. Go bear fruit. Do something. Do something with your life. Don't be like everybody else. Hateful, mean, scandalous. Do something. Make it worth it. Make your salvation worth it. Look here. Jesus came for a bunch of ungrateful folks. I'm first to speak up for that one. How did he love you? How did he love you? And so let's go to Romans now, chapter 5. And I made a note here, those verses that we just read in John, when it says love, in the Greek, it was the agape kind of love. And the agape love is this right here, a love that seeks the best for its object, a sacrificial love not based on a feeling, but a determined act of the will. How many of you were a strong-willed child? How many of you have a strong-willed child? You get what you're raising. So, an act of the will. An act of the will. You're not going to wake up and be like, it's my will to behave with this person. No. You're going to make a conscious decision. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm just going to be who I'm supposed to be and love this person. And I'm not going to feel stressed because I don't have it for him. Because look here, God's going to show up today and he's going to give me the love that I don't have. So Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 5. And it says here, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So this is exactly what I was talking about. We put too much stress on having to be the one that's coming up with the love and affection for some folks. Some people are hard to love. Take that stress off of yourself. Why? Because the word just said that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He poured it out. He poured it out of himself, and he poured it into us. So it's no longer a feeling that's trying to get us to behave and to love people that we don't like. It's the fact that God took the little gas pump, and he took it, and he put it on your heart, and he filled your heart up with love. And he said, I poured it into you, you pour it out. I poured it into you, now you pour it out. Here's the catch. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to pick and choose. When I started the food ministry, I had a vision. And in the beginning, a lot of people wanted to tell this girl here how to do that. Look here, Alvie. I knew exactly what God wanted to do. I would have people come up to me and say, well, you know that that person's really well off and they don't need that. Look here. Are you balancing their checkbook? How do you know what they need? You don't even know what you need. I have a lot of people say, well, that person don't go to church here. They this and they that. Look here. Since when did God give stipulations like that? God would say, Kelly, I want you to let people come up into this church. And I don't even want you to even talk about church to them, Kelly. I just want you to let them come up in here. Because, see, until you can love people, you can't get them saved. That's just truth. Till you can love them where they're at, because let's be real, that's how God loved us, right where we were at, right there in the mess. He loved us in the mess. I had a lot of people want to tell me how to do the food ministry, and I said, I done got my marching orders from God Almighty, and that's all I need. Look here, I cannot even begin to even take credit for the thing that God has done. I can't even take an ounce of credit for it. It was just something that God poured in there, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to let you help me to pour it out. Now, last week, I nearly got in an argument with somebody over the celery. And I thought, thank you, God, I didn't wear the pastor shirt today because I'm about to show out. I said, y'all got every person that goes through this line has got to take this bag, and in that side of this bag has 4 packs of celery. She said, I don't need 4 packs of celery. Sister, God's wanting to make you a blessing. Take this celery and give it to your neighbors and get out of my peripheral. All right? But look here. God will pour something into you. Stop going off of what you feel. Let it come out. Let it come out. Let it come out. It's not based off of what you feel. It's based off of what he gave you. What did he give you? The word says, now freely you have received, now freely give. Freely give. See, when you want to go stipulating stuff, you know you're off. You know you're off. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 9. See, God knew that none of us would be able to measure up. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to be pouring out that love. He knew we couldn't wake up good on our own every time, every day. A teacher once told me, I said, I don't understand why Carson Paul's doing this. And she said, Kelly, it's this simple. They can't be good every day. Stop expecting it. Right, Melissa? Them kids, they wake up and sometimes they want to act up. She's a school teacher. She gets it. God didn't call me into the school teaching business because he didn't want me going to prison. And I highly respect people that teach these kids because they got a hard job. So Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited. Verse 17, do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. As far as it depends on you. See, there's so many times where it's depended on us and we drop the ball. There's so many times when God said, I'm going to put this in my child's ball court right here, and I need them to make a good decision because, see, somebody's life is hanging in the balance. God wants to pour love into you. He wants you to pour it out of you, and he doesn't want you to be picky and choosy. I felt like I should minister on this today because, you know what, it's very important that the believer knows how to act when you don't like somebody. Why? Because it's going to come up a million times. It's going to come up over and over and over. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to get it. You're going to say, you know what, God? I'm just going to love that person. Not because they're good. Not because I'm good. But because, God, you're good. You're good. When you feel like you want to hold a grudge against somebody, look back and reflect. How did he love you? How did he love you? How did God love you when you were at your worst? When you were showing out, when we were still yet sinners, how did he love us? Because however he did that in your darkest moment is exactly how he wants you to love other people. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for the word, God, that was just planted. God, I ask you right now to do what only you can do, which is God, water it and God, cause it to grow. Lord, I ask you right now, God, if there's anyone in here or God in the sound of my voice, maybe they're streaming this live right now, God, and they're having a problem holding a grudge or just can't lay it down and there's been a problem with a relationship. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now for the strength that only you can give, God, for us to lay it down. Lord, I ask you right now to help us to let that go in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that there isn't a mountain that you would not move for us. So, God, I ask you to move mountains that are in our hearts right now, the grudges that we hold, God, the irritations that we hold, Lord, the things that have been done way long ago in the past that we're still holding on to. God, I ask you to help us to let those things go. God, I thank you for the love that you have, that you're pouring it into us right now. Lord, I ask that you'd bless us and keep us. God, make your face to shine upon us, and Lord, give us peace, God, in Jesus' name, amen.